As the Maryland General Assembly opened its 90-day session this week, the Republican governor and the Democratic legislative leadership had already begun to spar. During Mark Steiner's Annapolis summit yesterday, Governor Larry Hogan said he was not going to play politics. He said he had reached out to the Speaker of the House of Delegates, Michael Bush, adding that he had met with him numerous times.
I'm going to try to continue to work in a bipartisan fashion with people regardless of their party affiliation. Have an excellent relationship with Speaker Bush in spite of the kind of crazy comments that were made in the paper the other day.
But during his appearance on the show, Bush dismissed the governor's claim, saying he had not met with him that often.
He doesn't have to meet, but the fact of the matter is, he wants to talk about working on bipartisan common sense legislation. I'm just trying to figure out who he's working with.
Bush and Senate President Mike Miller said on such legislation as paid sick leave and incentives for manufacturing companies, the governor would not compromise on crucial details. But Hogan counters that he has been charged with simply stealing Democratic ideas. Governor said he had no intention of coming out with any partisan clause this session and suggested that it was Democrats who were taking aim at next year when the governor will be up for re-election.
There's all this talk about we're going to tie Hogan to Washington and to Trump, and we're going to try to hurt him politically, and it's all about 2018's election. That's 2 years from now is the next election. How about I'm going to focus on 2017 and doing things for all of the people of Maryland in a bipartisan way.
During the presidential campaign, Hogan did decline to support Trump. Miller did promise that he would not throw the governor's proposals in the legislative trash can. Meanwhile, the state is facing a $544 million shortfall for the next fiscal year out of a $17 billion operating budget. The state is already facing a $209 million deficit for the current fiscal year. Governor noted that the overwhelming portion of the budget is mandated spending, leaving around 17% in discretionary expenditures.
So we have to have the flexibility in times when revenues come down. And basically, our proposal was just to say, in times when revenues are not there, we have to have the flexibility to not raise spending more than income is.
Perhaps the most contentious issue is the transportation measure. Hogan said there was a formula set up that kept him from funding needed projects and that the measure needed to be repealed.
If it does not, 66 of the 73 projects that are most important to almost everyone in Maryland are not going to be funded, or they're going to be tied up in court for years to argue about what this crazy bill does that some lobbyist wrote in the middle of the night.
But Miller and Bush both said that legislation was advisory and that they were willing to work with the governor on changes in the measure. Then Miller charged that Hogan was funding projects in rural areas for political purposes.
His votes are on the Eastern Shore, Western Maryland, the outer parts of the state.
But
so he wanted to build these rural lanes where we're stuck in traffic in the Baltimore metropolitan area and the Washington metropolitan, and he doesn't want the people to see where he's putting their hard-earned taxpayers' money.
On education, Governor Hogan said that he will be calling for a 2% cap on tuition to the state's colleges and universities. Hogan has also offered a student debt loan measure that would allow individuals making $200,000 or less to deduct it from their state taxes. On public education, he said,
"No governor in the history of the state has ever spent more on public education. Give you an advance warning and a little preview of next week's budget and say we're going to do it for the third year in a row. We're going to increase funding for education, provide record funding in spite of a very difficult budget year."
One of the hottest issues to surface in recent months on the Eastern Shore has been the construction of large chicken houses, especially near residential areas. Monica Brooks from Salisbury, where one of these large chicken houses now slated for construction, asked for a moratorium until studies can be done on air emissions and water pollution. But the top Democratic legislative leaders appeared to be caught off guard as they struggled with the issue, suggesting that those concerned needed to get a legislative representative from the Eastern Shore to raise the issue in Annapolis. Miller added that he was worried about the potential for shutting down the poultry industry in the region.
Whether people like it or not, agriculture still is the number one business in the state, number one. Okay, so the chicken farming operation was in operation long before a lot of people moved to these places on the Eastern Shore. And we've got to find a way to accommodate their needs with the neighbors.
The concern, however, has been that these large operations are a new phenomenon, and residents worry that their local representatives are not listening to them. Local officials have approved new restrictions on those large operations, supported by the poultry industry's trade group. But some residents say they don't go far enough. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.